This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest. Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and along with Albert Curley and Sam Hesketh, we're off to battle with the Blades, no matter what that Morley's chicken box tells us.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, yes, yes. Show two of the season. And I'm in buoyant mood after correctly predicting a draw last week. Unlike my two fellow presenters in Albert Curley, you went for a big old loss, didn't you?
I did. I was pleasantly surprised. I don't mind not, you know, getting any points in the prediction league. You know, it's about what happens on the day, isn't it? It's not about a silly competition.
Yeah. Buoyed me off for my my birthday barbecue, but one person who didn't is Sam Hesketh, who did come to my birthday barbecue but still got the prediction wrong.
Well, half wrong. I correctly predicted that we wouldn't score.
This is very true.
Credit where it's due, please.
How desperate is that?
That's the comment of a loser. Please pipe down.
Please pipe down indeed. Do you think if we were still playing now, we would have scored yet?
Yeah, because they had. Yeah, no, we would have. We would have. Because they had 10 men. And I know we're bad against playing against 10 men. We can't be that bad. Eventually, the numbers would have to count and we'd make it count. Surely.
Surely. Well, we're talking about doing things bad. A certain Crystal Palace fan called Neil Ashton has had a pretty bad week. He took to his rag that shall not be named to suggest that Mamadou Sakho had pulled a private meeting with the players to tell Zaha to buck his ideas up. Albert, Andros Townsend took straight to Twitter to say the whole back page for something that categorically didn't happen. Fake news. Was you expecting an apology from Neil Ashton?
No, I mean, I, gave him the benefit of the doubt for about a couple of seconds and thought maybe Sacco forgot to tell Townsend about it. So Townsend's just been left out. And maybe it did happen. But then Zaha chipped in as well and definitely confirmed that Neil Ashton was fake news.
Yeah, making up lies is clearly more interesting than the actual truth.
Well, there you go. Shocker.
Heskiff, when you first read it, did you think, make Mamadou Sakho our captain, our glorious leader?
Well, I'm a big Mamba fan anyway, so part of me wanted to believe it, just, you know, because I think it would be good for us to have that good togetherness and that sort of thing. But from what it sounds like from various non-RAG reports, it seems like the team are pretty happy together anyway. So if there was a meeting just in general, I'm sure it was a good fun party if Mamba was involved.
Yeah, and Albert, what did you make of the reception that Wilfried Zaha got on the day? A couple of people I know said they heard some boos, but it was all pretty good around me.
In our new seats in the White Horse End, we're sort of to the right of the goal, not quite in the corner, but near enough to see the subs warming up. And the first I was made aware of it was when my son Arthur said, "Has Wilf Zaha changed teams?" Which made me panic initially. I thought maybe I missed something in a bit of a Rumpelstiltskin moment, but he was just referring to the fact that Zaha, he said he's wearing a different colour top, and he was referring to his subs bench. So after that initial panic, I sort of looked down and saw he was warming up, and yeah, I didn't hear any boos. It's all claps. I won't call it a standing ovation, but plenty of people sort of stood up and showed their appreciation, and he seemed to, you know, reciprocate. I didn't hear any booing. I'd have been very disappointed had I. But luckily, that didn't happen.
Indeed. Heskiff, on Sunday Supplement, which Neil Ashton presents on Sky TV on a Sunday morning, I tweeted a picture mocking up a back page of the Townsend tweet and him holding it up like a newspaper. Do you think he'll pay any sort of heed towards it, or do you think he'll just ignore it completely?
Yeah, I think he's going to act in the way that Sky presenter did when it turned out that all of his stories over the summer were a load of old bollocks, I think it's called. I'm sure these people get paid to fill pages, don't they? So if it's a load of old rubbish, let's brush it off and get on with their next lie, probably. I'm sure if they talk about Wilf, they'll continue on with the he wants to leave, where should he go? I'm sure he doesn't care whether we think he's a bit of a plum or not.
Yeah, Sky were pretty funny that the one sort of transfer story that guy did get right, they kept hammering it home that, like, you know, the one that he got right, blah, 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 to make it sound like, you know, giving back some credibility. But alas, it wasn't there. Talking of credibility, the government's kind of lost it, particularly in South London today, as they've released a story saying that Morley's Chicken Boxes will have knife-free stories written on them or something or the other. Albert, how do you feel about knife-free Morley's Chicken Boxes?
I'll be honest, I've not experienced I don't know if they were pro knife before, but I haven't experienced a Morley's Chicken Box with or without a message on it. When I first saw it, I did think it was an article from like the Daily Mash or the Onion or something, because it is so beyond the pale. But it turns out that someone's thought that's a genuine good idea. And it just, you know, it takes all sort of connotations as well, you know, like, why are you targeting chicken shops? But it's the world we live in, isn't it? It's just mental.
Yeah, you can imagine the meeting room where they brainstormed this, Heskiff. Yes, Tarquin, that's a fantastic idea, that kind of thing there. Yeah, I think that's the way to get through to the youth, through the chicken boxes.
Somebody definitely would have suggested getting in touch with the Colonel, thinking he is a real authority figure. alas.
Yeah, well, Heskiff, you know, you're a Streatham boy. Mm-hmm. This is clearly cutting to the core of the problem, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure knife crime's going to absolutely disappear. Now that a chicken box has informed people what to do. But like Albert said before we started recording, the idea of eating fried chicken with a knife and fork is so alien to us anyway that I think maybe back to the drawing board on that one.
Indeed. But in other news, Crystal Palace have finally become a London living wage employer. Of course, this isn't a legal requirement, but a lot of independent research has been done to show that this is how much you need to live in London. And it's good news that Palace have finally got on board with that. Albert, will you be giving up a life in the movies now to earn the big bucks working behind the bar in a homestyle?
No. I'm in Hertfordshire, so you know, I know a lot of Watford fans will try and tell you it's a London club. I can assure you, even though we are on the London Overground, this ain't London. So I feel I'm a bit detached.
And Hesketh, university life, or is it the pouring a Palace ale for everyone in the club?
Well, as much as I hate to piss on more Palace parades, most universities do have a London allowance, so I'm already the beneficiary of it myself. But you know, I'm glad that Palace have finally got round to offering the London living wage. It's a long time coming, and going by some of the rants they get from our mate Miserable Dave after the game, I think the more money they get paid, the better, to be honest.
And talking of the movies, what are you working on at the moment, Albert? People love to hear it. Have you got? Is it an NDA, or are you allowed to say?
I was going to say, yeah, it's a little film called Non-Disclosure Agreement.
Is it an adult movie?
What, as in Sexy Times?
That's exactly what I mean.
No, it's not one of those, but I am available if anybody is interested in that sort of thing.
As an actor or as an art director?
Just as an art director. So, you know, I can dress in, I don't know, the props, not dress them in. That would be performing, wouldn't it? You know, I can scatter the cushions. That's, again, anything I say now is just going to sound rude.
If anyone's interested in one of these Art Nouveau films of Albert's, please do send us a voice message on the WhatsApp with an audition and he'll get back to you.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, I don't do the costumes. I can't do costumes. So you'd have to find someone else to do the pearl necklaces.
How would you set up the bed?
Pretty much like my own, just unmade. one corner of the sheet just off a little bit. And a good supply of, you know, a decent absorbent kitchen roll or tissues within arm's reach.
This has gone downhill. One person who looks like he could probably star in one of those adult films is Alex Sorlot. I mean, very good looking man, big jaw, scoring goals for fun in Turkey. Albert scored again tonight, a powering header in the Europa League or Champions League qualifier. It must be Europa League qualifier tonight. Do you think we've made a mistake letting him go?
No, we haven't. Good luck to him. You know, if Turkey want to take him on, good luck to Turkey.
Hesketh, the goal came from, you know, this elusive thing, a cross into the box, which is obviously playing to his strengths. Would probably be playing to Benteke's strengths as well. But Andros Townsend last week said in a video clip talking about fantasy football that we're a crossing team. So that's why he's got Benteke on his team, because we'll create loads of chances for him. We obviously debunked this myth and said, you know, we were the worst crossing team in the league last season. Did you see any signs against Everton that this is about to change?
Well, not really. I don't want to go against Andros, much as I love him, and call him a liar. But I did think at the time when he said we were a crossing team, it was a bit an odd thing to say. And I'm not Mr. Stat. I'm not heavily reliant on numbers. I don't sort of look into it. But I'd be very surprised if we were in the Champions League places for crossing the ball. because, yeah, it seemed like more of the same.
Yeah, it did indeed. But talking of Andros Townsend, do you think he's given Kyle Walker the number, Hesketh? I don't know if you've seen this thing.
I honestly said the exact same thing to my wife when whatever the Man City game was on. I think it was West Ham, wasn't it? In fact, it was at your house where Albert mysteriously wasn't. Yeah, I said at the time that he looked like he'd been to Andros's plug man. I don't know what to call him.
it's sort of plug man, probably hair plug man. I don't know, but yeah, he's definitely in the initial stages of the treatment, feeling a bit on top there. So,
Andros, if you're listening, do please send us the number in a WhatsApp voice note because I'm considering it.
My sister actually saw Andros Townsend the other day, but in a very sort of family-esque environment. I won't say what it was because it was somewhere which is a bit personal and private. But I was like, oh my God, did you say hello? And she was like, no, it was a very inappropriate time to say hello to Andros Townsend. So I'll leave you all thinking about what that could possibly be over the break. And then when we come back, we're going to be building you up to Sheffield United.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Yes, so after a good point against Everton, we travel to newly promoted Sheffield United. Now, Albert, Roy does all right against the newly promoted teams. Last season, 4 wins, 1 draw, 1 defeat. Are you going into this game with some positivity?
It's the common trapping, isn't it? Oh, it's a newly promoted side, easy game. Bang, 3-0 away loss. I don't know. I mean, listen, I was very pleasantly surprised at the sort of performance that we put in on Saturday. So yeah, I'm gonna remain upbeat and say I'm gonna ride that wave and hopefully see an even bigger improvement and stick a couple in the net.
Yeah. So you talk about being pleasantly surprised against Everton. Do you see it sort of being a similar kind of lineup? Don't broke what isn't fixed.
Don't broke what isn't fixed. Catchy that.
That famous saying, yes. But don't fix what is broken. You know, we're gonna rely a lot, I think, on a solid defence this season with a lack of goals up front. So just see that it's other players' places to win in the team, or do you think there'll be a bit of a shake up?
I never thought I would sit here and contemplate leaving Wilfried Zaha on the bench for Jordan Ayew. I thought Jordan Ayew was fantastic on Saturday and was definitely, for me, our man of the match. It would seem harsh to drop him, but when you look at who you'd be dropping him for, it's also completely understandable. So I guess Roy's got a, you know, if all the talk about Wilf's, you know, head not being quite right, I mean, he came on and did perfectly well on Saturday. You know, Roy's got to make that call if he thinks that, is he in a position to start a game? And if he is, fantastic. That's great news for everybody at Palace. But, you know, you could take comfort from the fact that if he's not, then Jordan Ayew looked perfectly comfortable in that position. You know, what is arguably against a stronger opposition. So I wouldn't want to change it up too much. And Zaha is the only change that I probably would consider making.
Yeah, Hesketh, it's a weird one, is it? Because I do feel, especially after the first 20 minutes against Everton, that things really started to click in place. And arguably, a lot of people have said it, we fell off a bit when Zaha did replace Ayew.
Yeah, I think certainly for the first half of the second half, we really looked good. And I think Ayew was a massive part of that. You know, he was good in the first half anyway, but he really gave us an outlet, which is not something that I thought I would say of him. He held the ball up well, he ran well, and allowed Benteke to do a bit more as well. The onus wasn't just on Christian to, you know, lead the line and be the man that does everything. So when Wilf came on, it was almost like, do we just go back to giving it to him? You know, what should the plan be? But I agree with Albert. I think it would be incredibly harsh on Ayew to be dropped. But I think playing against a newly promoted team, this is not patronising whatsoever, but I know that they like to push forward Sheffield United as well. They do play on the front foot. And I think if you've got, you know, a link up between Meyer and Wilf on the pitch, especially if they are pushing forward and we can get behind them, I think that that's too good an opportunity not to go with myself. You'd like to think that Wilf against Sheffield United rather than against Everton, especially when there was all the talk about him joining them or not joining them, you'd think that he would really excel against Sheffield United. So it is really harsh on Ayew, and he was also my man of the match on Saturday. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the change that Roy makes.
You talked about Benteke leading the line there. Albert, how do you think he did in the game? He obviously was very frustrated to get substituted with about just under 10 minutes left. Probably felt like there was maybe a goal in the game for him. But how do you think he did just all over in the 82 minutes he did play?
This is you've really touched a nerve here, because you've reminded me that I thought he did very well, excuse me, with what he was, you know, with the hand that he was dealt with. It's the same old story. Service wasn't amazingly great. Anything that was pumped up to him that was in a reasonable sort of radius for him to get on, he sort of got to. I thought he actually looked way more mobile than he has. I'm not saying he was running rings around people like Messi or Zaha, but he looked way more mobile. And there was a couple of opportunities where, you know, he was really sort of running at the defence and trying to cut in and get a shot away. However, and going on a bit of a tangent, I think it took all of about 2.5 minutes for somebody to pump the ball up to him, and, you know, nowhere near him, and for Benteke to, again, doing the best he could to look like he's going to try and win it, and he's nowhere near it, and through no fault of his own. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't just one or two people. There was a good number of people going, oh, you know, same old Benteke, useless, which I find absolutely infuriating. And outside of probably the aforementioned Ayew and Mayer up until his booking, I thought Benteke was our best player. With what he got, he did perfectly well. There's a couple of balls that went into the box that were sort of behind him. Again, you know, he's not in control of where the ball goes. You could maybe say he should anticipate where it's going to go, but I thought he did perfectly well. And yeah, stick him in again on Saturday. And I hope it's the start of an upward trajectory, because I thought he looked a lot fitter and a lot more mobile.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, about how there's just certain fans that just absolutely want him to fail at all costs. And that is a bit sad. But yeah, I thought he battled well, won a lot of headers. He's just, you know, brilliant in the air in that sense. And you wonder why we don't play to his strengths a little bit more. But as we touch on a little bit further up, hopefully that we'll play to his strengths a little bit more this season. But that obviously remains to be seen. Now, Sheffield United, as you said, Hesketh, like to play on the front foot. And they've said they're going to continue to do that this season. Now, the last team that said they were going to do that was Huddersfield a couple of seasons when they came up a couple of seasons ago, and they stuffed us 3-0 at Selhurst. It's difficult seeing a newly promoted side doing that to a Roy Hodgson team, though, isn't it, Hesketh?
Oh, God, that's tempting fate, isn't it? I think, yeah, we're a lot better organised, unsurprisingly, than we were when we played 3 at the back with Gyro and Fosu Mensah. I think, we're obviously a lot more organised, and I think we'll probably deal with them quite well. I don't want to tempt fate, because this is where we get hammered and I look like an idiot, but we're quite a dogged team at the back. And I think even though, I think that Scott Dan's, you know, his legs are probably gone, he coped all right against Everton. And I thought Martin Kelly was really good as well, actually. I'm hoping it's not another 3-0 Huddersfield debacle. But I think at the same time, Chris Wilder is a pretty good manager. And I think he's got Sheffield United to a place that no one would have expected a few years ago when he took over. So they're not going to, you know, it's not going to be an easy game. And I think especially first home game back at Bramall Lane, I'm sure the first 15, 20 minutes are going to be really loud. They're going to obviously have sold out. And I think that obviously the longer that we can keep them at bay, I know it's cliche to say it, but the longer that we can keep them at bay and keep their fans from having anything to celebrate, much better for us. And I think if we nicked an early goal, say, and they had to come out even more, then you would think that would play into our hands even more.
I think back to last season, opening day, when we won 2-0 at Fulham, Albert, and I remember saying back then, I think it's going to be a harsh Premier League lesson for the newcomers. What do you reckon? Do you reckon that could be the same deal for Sheffield United, or do you think they're a different kettle of fish to Fulham, having, you know, kept a large majority of their squad together, and you know, they're all still players that were there last season and really want to do well for the club?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The whole Fulham debacle, blowing 100 million plus and almost, you know, completely changing the personnel and the sort of almost the style of the club, was almost the writing on the wall for them from day one. And I think it's, you know, it's refreshing to see a club like Sheffield United come up almost out of nowhere. Obviously, that, you know, they've been up in the upper echelons before, come out of nowhere and kind of stick to their guns. And whether it works or not obviously remains to be seen. But, you know, they play this sort of quite revolutionary, to be honest. I can't really get my head around it. There's sort of three at the back and the centre halves all of a sudden are in the midfield, and then sometimes they're out wide and up front, which always makes me a bit, you know, slightly nervous. It seems to be whoever's in charge at Palace, anytime we come up against what I might call a slightly, you know, new sort of forward-thinking formation, we do tend to look a bit lost. And, you know, the Huddersfield result, which you've alluded to a few couple of seasons ago, you know, really was sort of the epitome of that. So I'd like to think that our quality might, you know, our quality may be sort of tied in with, I'm not going to use the word naive because that's almost disrespectful, but their kind of, you know, their early season enthusiasm, you know, really still trying to stick to that ethos. I'd like to think that we can maybe take advantage of that potentially on the break, especially if we do make the change for Zaha and get a bit of pace in the team. However, it is really not the most un-Palace thing to come unstuck in a fixture like that, especially on the telly.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that we're not, I haven't checked the record, but I'm sure our record on TV isn't great since we got promoted to the Premier League back in 2013. We'll crunch the numbers for that one next week, but I'm pretty sure we're likely to have lost a lot more than we've won, for sure. I can think of like a couple in the first season maybe, but outside of that, Leicester, but we always beat Leicester, and other than that, you know, it's a lot of disappointing results. Heskey, if they're going to have to get through our back line to beat us, and it was very solid on the weekend, and the one time that Everton really did get through, outside of the Sigurdsson miss, Guaita was there to make the one big save, which we're starting to come to expect from him, really, which is a big positive. Martin Kelly, I thought, had a fantastic game against Everton, and his five-year anniversary has just come up. Do you see it as he's, you know, Gary Cahill, Tompkins, Sacco, are they coming straight back in the team when they're fit and ready? Or does Martin Kelly, is Martin Kelly putting together the sort of performances that would allow him to keep his place?
I think at the moment, yeah, you've got to say that he should keep his place. I think that of the two centre-halves, if you were to say, well, we're going to bring Sacco or Cahill in, I think it'd be Dan that would miss out. As I said, like, you know, I've been a big fan of his for ages, Scott Dan, but I think he's just looking quite slow. And I know that he was never a particularly fast defender, but he really does look quite cumbersome sometimes. Whereas Kells, yeah, he looks very solid. I think he's the epitome of a professional. I'm sure everyone thinks it. He doesn't moan when he's not playing. He trains hard, does well when he comes in. And I think we can see clearly now that centre half is his position rather than fullback. I think he was very good. I think he was our best defender against Everton. Didn't really put a foot wrong. And like you say, the only real chance that they had, other than Sigurdsson miss, was that save that Guaita made, which was absolutely unbelievable save.
You like ice hockey. It was very, very ice hockey-esque.
It was. Make yourself big. The butterfly position, it's called.
Didn't punch anybody. Isn't that
a dance? Isn't a butterfly a dance? Do that to jungle music.
Maybe in one of Albert's films. I'm not sure. But what I did like about Guaita as well, he made the save and then he was straight back up to punch the ball away, which is, you know, that sort of dominating the box that you want from your goalie. So, yeah, I think the defense looks solid. Obviously, we're gonna miss Wan-Bissaka going forward because he was getting better and better as we've discussed on the show. But yeah, I think we've got a fairly solid defense there, considering arguably the two centre halves are not, you know, first or second choice, really. I think we should be quite happy. But, yeah, Kells of the two is certainly the one who should keep his place, I reckon.
Yeah, you talk about that. I thought it was a place we were lacking on the weekend, getting our fullbacks forward. Albert, do you think that was because Wan-Bissaka's gone and Joel Ward's, he's obviously not as good a player, but we know he can get forward to some extent. Was it more the way Everton played and with the likes of Coleman, you know, bombing forward and stuff like that, that they kind of subdued our fullbacks a bit?
Yeah, it's hard to remember a time pre-Wan-Bissaka at right back, even though it was only very brief. But, you know, again, shout out to Joel Ward. I thought he was very disciplined. Whether it was through instruction or sort of as the game developed, I thought Joel Ward was looked particularly comfortable and seemed like, you know, he'd slotted right back in. Obviously, he's not Wan-Bissaka. He knows that. We all know that. And I'm not going to use it as a stick to beat him with. But there's nothing I saw on Saturday to think, oh, Christ, we're back to Joel Ward. Van Aanholt, on the other side, wasn't as convincing. Obviously, a bit more promise going forward, but again, a couple of wobbly moments at the back. But the whole back four looked pretty solid. And I, you know, Everton should, on paper, pose a bigger threat than Sheffield United. So if they were comfortable on Saturday, you know, there's no reason why they can't look as comfortable, if not more, on Saturday. Sunday. And maybe go a bit more adventurous in the fullback position. But whether that's how Roy sees it remains to be seen.
So talking about Wan-Bissaka, he obviously made his debut for Manchester United in the league in that 4-0 win against Chelsea. I don't think anyone really saw that one coming. They talked a lot on Sky about, you know, him going forward, and they're talking about the pressure and could he handle it and is he good enough going forward and so on, even though he was you know, the defender with the most take-ons in the top five leagues in Europe last season. So I'm pretty sure that means he can go forward and put in a couple of brilliant balls in that game as well. But in commenting on this on Twitter, I've got a couple of fans coming at me being like, I don't care now, he plays for Man United. Is this a sentiment you share, Hesketh? I know we're not big United fans. Obviously, none of us like Manchester United, particularly not Albert, having married one. But is it a case of now you just cut him and let him go? Or is it how I feel that, you know, he's going to continue to represent us for the rest of his career because he come from our academy?
I'm not sure. So obviously when he was with us, loved him, think he's a fantastic player, absolutely still think he's a fantastic player and deserves to play for one of the top clubs, which despite their sort of wobbles of late, you would say obviously Manchester United still are. I just hate Manchester United. So it's not that I like... It doesn't negate what he did for us as a Palace player, because even though it was only a year and a half-ish, we all saw what a fantastic player he was and we were banging on about him on here and to each other in the pub and, you know, everyone loved him. But yeah, I don't really care, to be honest. I suppose if he does well, then it'll have more people talking about Manchester United's Wan-Bissaka. And that's already winding me up a little bit, you know. It's only Twitter and all the rest of it, but people saying, Wan-Bissaka's such a good player. But it's like, I know he's such a good player. And in fact, the day that he signed for Man United, me and Vanessa were on the train going into town, and there were two Man United fans, I guess, banging on about how good he was going to be. They're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see him live. And I'm just thinking, you've got South London accents, so if you went to see your local team, you'd see how good he is live, and you should pipe down. He's going to do well for him because he's a quality player. And I'll probably have a little moan when, you know, the next time I see him get an England squad or something, even though I don't really care about that either. it riles me a little bit, but whatever. I'm not desperately angry. I'm not going to go after him and call him names and say I hope he breaks his leg or anything like that. I'll just let him get on with earning hundreds of thousands of pounds kicking a football about.
Albert, have you bought the missus a Wan-Bissaka shirt?
Cool. No, not when it's a pound a letter. Christ.
It's not. No, that was another thing. It's not anymore, is it? It used to be 75p a letter and £1.50 a number. I seem to remember at a club shop at Palace all the way back when I was a teenager. It was
when you were getting your Wickham shirt and your
no way before then. But I'm talking more about, you know, I can't get Herman Haraldsson on the back.
You were probably the one person that did want it on the back. No, that was another thing that happened on Saturday. It was about halfway through the game. And, I mean, he was only four. He's now five. He was five this week. Happy birthday, Arthur. He did turn around and ask, where's Wan-Bissaka? Which kind of made my lip wobble a little bit. But, you know, he didn't read the transfer news over the summer, my boy. But, yeah, watched the game on Sunday, obviously, because I live with one of them. And, yeah, you know, it's... He was no better for them than he was for us, and he was exceptional for us, and he's going to be exceptional for them. I don't subscribe to the "oh, he's dead to me," you know, like a bit like yourself, Terrence. You know, I want to see him do well. He wasn't with us very long, and he shone very brightly. And I think the thing that comes out of it is there's a lot of people still sort of repeating the "oh, we sold him on the cheap" sort of line. It's mainly on Twitter. Which I just can't get on board with. We sold a player who played under 50 games for us for 50 million quid. You know, was it a record for that? You know, for a fullback who'd played that many games or whatever. And that's a fantastic deal. We drove a hard bargain. We got a fair chunk of money, and that's made it easier for us to sort of swat away these derisory Zaha bids. One thing I did notice, and again, I'm not going to have a go at him because he's, you know, he came out when the move was announced that he's a boyhood United fan. You know, when United scored any of their four goals, I sort of felt that, you know, I've never really felt like I've seen Wan-Bissaka smile in any scenario at Palace. And, you know, his face was illuminated when United were obviously banging Chelsea for four. That hurt a little bit, but, you know, again, if he's a United fan, he's a United fan, and I wish him all the success, and he will be in an England shirt in the not too distant future. It'll be between him and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and for my money, I think Wan-Bissaka eventually will win that race and make that place his own.
Yeah, when you said that, I saw you tweet about the smiling, and I immediately thought, no, actually, there was a big beaming smile on his face when he was celebrating with Townsend when he scored that volley. But then I thought, but that was against Manchester City. Maybe he just hates City because he's a United fan. So
there you go.
So who knows? But yeah, for me, I think he's going to represent our academy. He's going to be a beacon for all those kids in the academy to, you know, this is what could be. We could get into Palace, star here, get a big move to a big club. And, you know, that's fundamentally what we're all about. I don't expect us to be a team challenging at the top of the league, as nice as that would be for a few seasons or something like that. But, you know, we've always wanted to be a team that brings through a blood our own talent. And hopefully now we can get back towards that. And maybe a good place for it to start is in the League Cup, where we should touch on the news there that we've drawn Colchester at home in the League Cup. Hesketh, few youngsters in and let's try and get them some game time or chance of a cup run. You know, Colchester should be an easy win at home.
Oh, does Roy ever want a cup run? I think, yeah, if you mix a few of the youngsters in and put in, you know, maybe Camarasa and McCarthy and Cahill probably from the start to get them up, because I know they played that for the reserves or the under-23s, whatever. So that might be a good place to play him, and yeah, it'd be good to see some of the youth players who came on pre-season tour as well get involved. Other than Luke Dreyer, who unfortunately seems to have had another serious injury, which is a big blow because I think he was the one that, you know, people really expect him to push on and got his debut against Bournemouth last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
And this would be just the sort of game that you would think you could bring Dreyer in and see if he can sort of run the game, but. Yeah, it sounds like it's an ACL, so another season lost.
Yeah, it's a weird one as well with that because, you know, twice now he's been on the cusp of breaking into the first team, getting on the bench, etc., and an injury stops him in his tracks. But, you know, it's very difficult now. We've got a lot of central midfielders in our team and, you know, it's Nia Kirby and Luke Dreyer are probably the two that are closest to first team places. And they've kind of now been pushed out, and I think it's going to have to be another loan deal for Nia Kirby, but maybe he'll get some minutes in the Colchester game before he heads off undoubtedly somewhere, because, you know, with McCarthy coming in and Camarasa coming in, it's difficult to see how he gets in. But
I just wanted to pull Sam up. He said ACL, another season lost, and that's wrong. It doesn't stand for that. And you work in education.
I don't teach, in my defence.
Yeah, so that game's coming up in a couple of weeks, and that will be, I think it's £15 in advance. Kids go free as well with an adult ticket. So probably not the most competitive prices, but, you know, nonetheless, try and get as many people down there as possible. Get your kids down there if they're still on school holidays, and hopefully see the next Aaron Wan-Bissaka or someone like that in action. Right, it's, all that's left is predictions. So I said 1-1 last week. Heskiff, you said 2-0 was Everton, and I think Albert, you said 3-1. So I'm steaming ahead into an early lead there. So I'll take the 1 point. What's it going to be this week, Albert?
I think we're going to nick it 2-1.
And who's getting on the score sheet?
For us, it will be. I'm really, really, really doubling down here. Christian Benteke is going to score 2.
Whoosh. Heskiff.
Yeah, I was going to go 2-1 as well, but I'll change it because Albert's taken it. Maybe it's because I've just moved into a new house and I'm feeling like everything's coming up roses. 3-1 Palace. And I reckon Luca, Wilf, Benteke.
Okay, I'm going to go for a win as well. Look at this. It's not very often this happens, but I'm going for a 1-0 Palace. And I think it will be a Luka Milivojevic penalty. And wow, yeah, three wins. Sorry, listeners, that probably shoo in for a defeat now. Right, we'll be back after this.
Back of the Nest Match Review Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Okay, we're drawing to a close. Samantha in the background, thank you so much for producing for us. Albert, thank you for joining the team again this week. Late arrivals from work and all that, you know, it's a busy life for you.
What do you mean joining the team? I am the team.
That's what we let you think, mate.
You do a very good job of it. Thank you very much.
And Sam Heskiff, congratulations on the new place, sir. And you sound beautiful from your new surroundings.
Oh, wow. Thanks very much. I'm sat on the floor.
And what's the journey for you like to Sheffield on the weekend? Is it car or train?
It's train. 9:30 in the morning we leave.
Wowzers. That's early. What's the pre-match activities looking like?
Get pissed.
Yay, lads, and Vanessa, and Anna, and anyone else?
Is Dave a lad? Not really. This is quite an in-joke. Dave isn't a lad, so we'll add Dave in.
And Albert, on the other side of the coin, watching on TV, I imagine?
Yeah, watching on TV somewhere in Reading, probably.
Oh, you should link up with Hambo.
Oh, yeah, I should. Probably won't.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, he'll hear this, won't he? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Bell me up, Hambo.
A bit like you'd come to my barbecue. Well, anyway, look, I'll be in Sheffield. Heskiff will be in Sheffield. If you see us around, come and say hi. Yeah, and that's your lot. We'll be back next week. Listen to the review show on Sunday. And until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app.
You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.